Right then.
We're,
I don't know actually. Oh, right. One of the doors is open. Whose door is open? Someone's door is open. What's going on here? Is it my door?
I don't know.
Oh,
is
no.
It your boot?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, do you want me to shut the boot?
No, I don't think.
Sure?
Let's find out. It'll tell us here in a minute. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. We're in a car. I don't know if we're allowed to drive it at this rate.
No, we're not driving anywhere. It's a full circle moment, though, isn't it? Because this is where 95% of our podcasts used to come from, live from the car.
95%?
It was, though, wasn't it?
How did you, what formula did you use?
Nothing. But I just think about the cars we've been through in the last 6 years and how many random cars, our own cars.
Well, as you can tell, we're not in my kitchen, but we are in my car. So we've moved on for life. And fortunately, you don't have to watch this one.
I preferred the kitchen. It was warmer.
Yes. Well, you know, I might be able to put the bum warmer on for you if you
love
want.
Love that. Yes.
That's how we roll in these podcasts. Welcome to the Moor Podcast. I'm Claire. This is Anna. And today we're talking about that word, journey.
Journey.
It always makes me think of Northern Journey.
It makes me think about that song, The Journey, that always used to be on the X Factor.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yes. Yes. I think it's that. But all the X Factor winners would sing The Journey. Yeah. Anyway. I digress.
Well, on a side note, last year in a cold park on a Sunday morning, we got with Mr. Sleek.
No, we didn't get with Mr. Sleek. We interviewed Mr. Sleek.
We performed a music video with Mr. Sleek, which is available on our Instagram somewhere, singing Don't Stop Believing, where Anna had a variety of speed-free food shakers.
My eggs.
You had an egg yeah. shaker, yeah. But yes, Satsuma apple.
Did.
And it ended with Mr. Sleek singing into a banana.
I mean, that was the epitome of my career. That was the height.
Next to the duck pond in Manor Park in Glossop.
Oh my, the things we've done. Have you ever thought back and thought, what the crazy things we've done over the last 6 years? It's mental when you look back. But what that made us realise is that we've enjoyed the journey of the last 6 years.
I knew you! Yes! I've trained you so well to get us. And you know why? We're parked up in the car. Because we're not travelling. We're stopping a moment.
Oh, is that why?
We're parked up to stop and appreciate where we've been and how we've got here.
You told me it was too rainy.
No, we were going to go for a walk, but instead I like the car analogy.
Yeah.
And also it was warmer.
But you know what? We're laughing, but the last 6 years of our podcast, we have enjoyed the roller coaster that it's been. We maybe haven't recognised that while it was happening, but we have. What a segue.
Do you remember, like, when we first actually got sponsored by Slimworld? It was episode 61, and we announced it. Weren't we in the toilets of Slimming World Sparkly Castle?
But they're not like any toilets. That is like being in the 5-star hotel that we... They were seriously good toilets.
That was a highlight of our journey. I would also say, like, the fun time when we went to go and get a bra fitting, and we ended up doing a podcast.
That was not a
with
highlight
our boobs
of my
out.
Journey.
That
I've
was
never
just ridiculous.
Forgotten that. I've never, ever forgotten. The day I had the skaggiest bra on, the lady said, I can't even donate this to... Do you remember she had a bra donation? She was like, that is too manky to go into a bra donation. Yes. Highlights of my career. I dreamed of this when I was a little girl.
Yeah, what else has happened along the journey?
I mean, like, cooking. We literally, I'd always dreamed of being a chef on TV, and I juiced a lemon with a carving knife, and we made an episode about it. I mean, we've interviewed some incredible people.
Well, we didn't make the episode about carving a lemon out with a knife.
No, we'd Slim Your Kitchen. It's just that was my highlight. We've interviewed some incredible people. Do you know what I was thinking the other day? Mm-hmm. If we totted up all the weight of everyone we've interviewed over the last 6 years, it'd be a lot of weight they've lost.
That was a good start.
Isn't
it? Do you know where I think is quite incredible? When I first joined Slim World and had a lot of weight to lose, I felt an enormous amount of shame and guilt.
Yes.
I was angry at myself. How could I have let myself get like this?
Yeah.
What the heck have I done? I was just mad. And yeah, had I never got to that point in my life and then lost the weight and joined Slimworld, I never would have had all these experiences. Never would have met you. Never would have started this podcast. Never would have done all those crazy things
mad,
in the last 6 years.
It?
So in the end, it all
was
worked
worth
out.
It. Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at my home and thinking without Slimming World, I wouldn't have my beautiful house that I've got. And I know it's as simple as that, isn't it? Like, so many things have changed for us because of Slimming World. not only the weight we've lost, but the lives we've gained from it. And I know that might sound very cheesy, but for us, that's very, very true, isn't it? The freedom and the courage it's given us, that if we'd stayed in that unhappy place of hating ourselves and that shame, we might not have had the confidence to achieve.
Do you know what we also haven't mentioned there? We haven't mentioned how much we've lost. We've talked about all of the other things that we've gained in life. And it's actually, it's easy to slip into that, you know, I've only lost half a pound this week, or I've had a maintain, or I've lost, had a gain. But you forget all this other stuff that is happening as a result of you going and stepping out and beginning this journey. And that's where I think that enjoying the here and now, because there's this phrase, isn't that, that's, I recognise Slimmer would have mentioned in the last few weeks, this feeling good inside out. We've mentioned this in the last couple of episodes as well. And I suppose it's always worth thinking, what are the things that make you feel good inside out? Like today, I've put a pair of jeans on, which I haven't worn in ages, and I've realised they probably need a bit of a wash, actually.
No one's looking at if they need a wash.
But I haven't worn these for ages. They were shoved at the back of my wardrobe because for ages, they just wouldn't fit. And now they do. And that it's those little things that make me feel good inside out, if you know what I mean.
You know, I was just thinking about the confidence thing, that confidence to walk in the room and go, I'm here, this is me. That's what this has really helped me with, just go, yep, this is it. That acceptance, which maybe I didn't have before. Like losing weight and making the lifestyle changes has allowed me to feel more empowered. Also, I'm a woman in her mid-40s now, so I am, do you know what I mean, feeling like safe in my skin. Does that make sense? Like for many years, I'd always not quite settled into who I was as a person. But now I feel like my body is, you know, healthy and, well, as healthy as it can be, but I'm looking after it. I'm fit. I'm the weight I want to be. And actually, I'm confident with who I am. And I wasn't when I first started Slimming World.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can enter the weight loss world feeling a bit down and out, and almost like you lose faith in yourself to actually stick at something. You know, I know we've talked before where we both had tried many different things before we came to Slimming World, where it just taken us down like even an even darker path than where we started on. And actually, I'd really lost that belief in myself that I could stick with something and actually achieve something. And there's just the kind of monitoring things on a weekly basis allowed me to build some kind of level of steady consistency that then over time it all kind of adds up. It's a bit like, you know, if you've got like a tiny little bit of blue tack and then you put it on the steering wheel, and then each week you added a bit more little blue tack, eventually you'd have like a steering wheel sized blue tack. Which would be very handy if you were looking to put posters up.
I mean, it really handy. But that that analogy of consistency, Jesus Christ.
We're running out of analogies, people.
I mean, that's one to bank and remember. But
but what if someone's starting out this year, right? Every pound they lose, they got a little tiny bit of blue tack. And then by the end of the year, or you got a little pebble. If you've got some gravel outside, take a little bit of gravel and put it in a pile.
I mean, I was thinking like, yeah, or you could put like beautiful stones or pounds or pennies.
I'm like, blue tack, gravel, steal some gravel from your neighbour.
Get a pound of blue tack for every pound you lose, and by the end of the year you'll have 4 stone of blue tack. But it's that consistency that I think we've really thrived off, isn't it? And we've been seeking, because in our worlds, if you think about it, before Slimming World, we didn't have much consistency. Our lives were quite chaotic. And actually what our weight loss journey has given us is a sense of achievement by taking things slowly, one step at a time.
And control as well, I think.
100%.
Like taking back control of... I felt like food had this kind of invisible power over me.
Oh, there was nothing invisible.
You will eat me and you'll eat all of me right now.
Yeah.
It was like some kind of monster that spoke to me. And I was just like, what? I also felt quite similar about alcohol in that I could have a couple of drinks, but then it was like the F it button.
Yeah, I couldn't have a couple. It was 4 bottles or nothing.
And I really feel like for certain foods, the trigger foods, there is that element in me where once that packet is open, I know it's down a slippery slope. And I like to kind of allow me to have a bit of that, but learn how to put some control mechanism.
Yeah.
That is empowering.
And I've learned that actually, there are certain things that I don't choose to have in my life because they don't aid who I want to be now. But that's been such a process that I've had to learn to accept. Whereas I would have said, I could have never have lived without booze, and I could have never have lived without eating 16 bars of chocolate a day. I now know that those two things are not something that I choose to have in my life because they don't serve me anymore. But that was a journey I had to go on of self-discovery to understand that. But so many times I've been trapped in that place of, if I've not lost 4 stone by next Wednesday, this doesn't work, and not enjoying the process, starving myself, restricting myself, hating myself. The moment I started to see the little glimmers, like, actually yesterday you made a really good choice and you did X, Y, and Z and celebrated those, the pressure came off. And pressure is not something that makes things enjoyable, is it? It's something that almost takes the joy out of it. So recognising what you have the propensity to do as a human being, and understanding to enjoy your weight loss journey, whether you've just started, you're in the middle, you're at target, is understanding how you personally need to navigate it and the things that you maybe need to change up so you can enjoy it. Like, I remember when I first started, and potatoes are such a wonderful thing in my life, but allowing myself to have freedom of enjoyment. She's looking at me like, oh, Anna. But they are, aren't they? Like, for me, potatoes, as stupid as it sounds, unlocked so much for me. She's just looking at me, and where are we going with this? But they did.
Yep.
But they really did, because potatoes signify comfort for me. Eating them freely allowed me to make a choice that was not going to stop me losing weight. I could use them, enjoy them, be satisfied, and still lose weight.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by potatoes.
What about, you know what, there are times in my journey where I, if I'm honest, and I know, you know, the title of this is about enjoyment, I haven't always enjoyed it. I've got stuck. Okay. I've got frustrated, you know, I've hit a bump. And then it's kind of knowing what to do when maybe you're not enjoying it. And there will be people listening saying, yeah, I want to get back there. I'm just not sure how.
I think the first thing that I had to learn was to accept that that was part of the journey.
Okay.
There was no way that I could get to my end point and it's be smooth sailing, because life is not smooth sailing. To understand, accept, and be prepared for the bumps. To almost see them before they happened, but also to have a repertoire of tools, actions, foods that safeguarded me so that I could roll that out if there was a bump. Okay, today, this is what I need to do because I'm feeling like this, rather than spiral, because I'm very good at spiraling. One fall and I would end up, you know, quitting. So I would say to anybody that's stuck right now, no, you've got it in your hands to make a difference and control it and change it. You just need to take the first step. So for example, my first step would always be, if I'd struggled, Slimming World chips and a burger. I know that sounds bizarre, or a big pasta dish, because they were free foods that I know got me up on the ladder. They got me back to feel excited and really want to eat them, and were so different from the kind of stringent rules I'd put in previously. So understanding why the fall happens, understanding it's going to happen, but knowing that on the other side of that is going to be some joy.
Yeah. I suppose also honesty as well, isn't it?
Yeah. 100% being honest with yourself, but the people around you. Because if you don't ask for help when you're struggling, you're never going to get through it, are you? We've tried to do things on our own before and it's not worked. We've needed the power, that support of group and people around us to help us ride those waves. Because if it's just you, you become stuck in your own head. If you hear from other people, you understand what it's like to come through it. You understand what mechanisms they may use, what tools they could kind of give to you. And it's knowing that asking for help is not a weakness. And I always thought it was. I should be able to do this. Do you know what I mean? Why can naturally slim people not stress about food, whereas it's my every thought? But talking about it and asking for help and support and ideas liberated me and lifted that burden.
Yeah, yeah, because I think the thing is that many of us know what it's like to walk away and give up.
Yes.
But there's almost like but I don't know how I need to stick with it. I don't know how to keep going. I haven't worked that out yet.
Yeah.
And it's tough and it's uncomfortable and it's not always joyful. But when you come through the other side, it gives you that feeling good inside out, that control.
Yes.
You know that whatever happens in the future, this is evidence to say, well, I got through that.
And what our subconscious is very good at is pulling out all the evidence of saying, well, Anna, you are rubbish at this. Anna, history tells me you did X, Y, and Z. And that's why asking for help, not quitting, making a promise to yourself that you're not going to quit, you will then strengthen that message in your subconscious that I can do it. And actually, it's all right that it's hard sometimes. That's part of what will give you then enjoyment. You can't have sunshine if, you know, it didn't rain and things like that. All those analogies that sound so cheesy sometimes. I'm not sure that ever was an analogy. I may have just made that
up. You can't have sunshine if there's no rain.
Yeah, it's something like that. But you get me.
What?
There's a sunshine. There's no rainbow without...
She ain't getting a job in the Met Office. Okay, right. There's no rainbow without rain.
But there isn't,
yeah,
isn't
got
there?
You there now. Yeah. I was thinking the people in the deserts are going to be thinking, what's happening here then?
But what I'm trying to say is, you know, it's okay. It has to be rubbish to get better.
Yeah.
That's probably a much easier way. But, you know, I've always talked about the 1% rule. If you go to bed every night and think, I'm going to be 1% better. Now, 1% better doesn't mean that I've got to be really strict with myself and not have that. But just 1% better to me goes, look, yesterday you fell at that point. How are you not going to fall at that point tomorrow? And just understanding that you are a book that's yet to be written, aren't you? Every day is a new opportunity to go and make a change that's going to allow you to bring joy in and make changes that are going to allow you to lose weight. But really, really importantly, be there and stay there and enjoy that slim body that you've created.
That's a really important message, I think, to finish January with as well, because often we can, you know, do everything in January. We're like, right, I'm going to not drink. I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to lose like all my weight and I'm just going to erase it all in January. Then I can go back to normal life or something. But actually, it's a sense of, okay, how have you done in January? What's worked for you? What hasn't worked for you? If you are going to be reintroducing, maybe doing dry January or something, if you're going to be reintroducing maybe alcohol or going out or something like that, once payday kicks in the next few days, how are you going to put some boundaries around that just to have that layer of control? And how are you going to kind of stick with your weight loss? You know, because it's one thing to kind of lose weight, but actually then to add in the exercise and all the other restrictions that sometimes people do in January, it can make it almost overcomplicated. And I think it's a timely period to talk about joy, because you can probably quit most things for 30 days, but it's after the 30 days where a lot of people start to feel that deprivation.
Definitely.
And I say that as someone who for 5 years always did dry January, but then when it came back to February, I fell off the wagon in a massive way. I think 1 year I didn't eat meat and I didn't drink because I felt like that was the maximum way for me to lose weight if I really reduced my calories. At the end of the month, I didn't weigh any different.
No.
And then that annoyed me. And then I just lost it in February. So instead now I look for those kind of smaller habits of consistency. Yeah. And you're so true about the 1%. I remember the year that I really nailed it. You know, I joined your group, lost that 4 stone in that first year. And I didn't do everything all at once. I didn't even really focus on exercise or body magic, really. I focused on, let's nail the food. And then we'll start to add the next few layers and just work on that, because January and winter itself is a hard time. You don't need to be making this any harder for yourself.
Do you know, if I could give myself one piece of advice, it would to have said, slow down. Practice, keep moving, but don't feel like you've got to run a race, because it was that pressure of that race. Mm. Who was I racing against? Myself. And all I ever learned to do when I was trying to go so fast was to really restrict and then blow out. Actually, the moment I chilled out was when it all fell into place.
That I've always said I've came into Slim World as a yo-yoer. You know, I could actually lose weight. And you know what? If you deprive yourself of most things, you probably will lose weight.
Then you
put it back on. And that was exhausting. I was so frustrated because I know how hard it is, how much energy it takes to actually get on the weight loss wagon. It takes enormous courage, strength, determination, you know, it's consistency, it's turning up every week, you know, it's commitment, right? Mm. And then to fall off and then be like, just that voice in my head of, oh, you've done it again, and that way I berated myself. And I just wanted to just say, oi, do one to that little voice in my head.
And the only way you're going to say do one to that little voice is to create those habits that you can build on that then build your confidence in yourself. A thing that's really helped me is every night I write down three positives out of the day that are, you know, one in life, two in my journey with food, and three in my journey with activity. And it can be the smallest thing, like actually you picked a carrot over a packet of crisps, but again, is ending with positivity, which is something I've really had to work on with my own mental health, is that you have to glean positivity out of every single day.
Yeah, and weight loss can be fun. We're really passionate about this doesn't need to be a chore and punishment. So find a way to make it fun.
Find your joy, find your excitement, and it will become a lot easier.
Yeah, next week, actually, we do a members only podcast every other week. So you can listen to all of our podcasts if you're a member on the Slimmer World members app. And on those other weeks, we're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as the members app, just for those who aren't members. So you get an idea of what is going on in Slimmer World. It may just give you that kind of window in if you're thinking about joining, or you're a lapsed member and you want to hold on to a bit of the Slimmer World if you wish. That's absolutely fine. That's what we're here for, to keep, you know, keep you motivated, and when you're ready to rejoin, come do it, whatever you need to. Next week we're talking about celebrating free food, actually, which is really like the focus of the food optimizing plan, and that's with a lead up to what will unfold as Free Food Festival over the next few weeks in group and within the community of Slimming World. And free foods really have unlocked so much joy in terms of what we eat, so yeah, we'll be dipping into that. Speaking of free food, Anna, we are parked very near your house. I did notice that there was a carrot on your drive which had holes in. Was that left over from Rudolph or something?
No, that was even longer. That was where Daisy had her sparklers on November the 5th. That's how long the carrot's been there.
It survived!
And she's left it because I've tried to pick it up about seven times, but apparently the wildlife need the carrot.
There you go.
There's the story of the carrot.
Who put the holes in?
Me. I put the sparkler in the carrot so that the children don't burn themselves. So the sparkler goes into the carrot. They have their gloves on.
I mean, that's an alternative way to use free food.
Well, the thing that I got told off is the first carrot I started to eat before I put the sparkler in, and then she was a bit cross with me because I ate the sparkler carrot. But, you know, needs must. When you're hungry, you're going to go for a free food.
So anyway, the mystery is solved. Why Anna has a carrot on her drive. That's the level of nonsense that we can get into.
No, that's the level of you know, love for free food I have. I leave it wherever I can.
Well, there's more of that nonsense next week. In the meantime, we're going to continue our journey.
Oh, well, yes, we are.
I'm going to drop you back home.
Are you going to catapult me out?
Should I put a bum warmer on? Right, come on then. Whilst the music rolls.
The bum warmer's on.
Right, do you want a bum warmer? Do you want to go for 3, 2, 1?
I'm going to go for 2. I don't want a sweaty bum.
Middle of the road. Is that your kind of...
I've got a synthetic fabric on. Do you know what I mean?
It might feel like you've wet yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, too much information.
Right, whilst I put the sat-nav on and she gets a warm bottom, you can go and do something productive with your lives. We're on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. We're on the email, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Come and see us there. Share what you're up to this year. How are you getting on? Are you having a joyful time? We'd love to hear from you. Ta-ra, ribbit.
Bye for now.